Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. We're so glad you joined us today. It is 6:30 p.m. on Friday, Eastern Daylight Time, and you know what that means. It is time for Johnny Strozier, Keeping It Real. Johnny Strozier, are you here?
How you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We're so glad to have you on air today. Johnny Strozier is a very unique man. I want to just tell them a little something about you, and that is that Johnny Strozier is an ex-prisoner. He spent 46 years in the Georgia prison system. He literally grew up behind bars, having been in prison since age 10. From 1968 until July 31st, 2013. And so he was in solitary confinement for 15 of those years. Now, even though Johnny Strozier went through all of that, you have never heard a more positive person, a person who has for himself and his future. Johnny Strozier became a Christian in the 1980s after a failed suicide attempt. He credits his relationship with Christ for making him a changed man. Janice Wharton told him at one time that he would never leave prison except in a coffin. But Jenny prayed for freedom and relied on his God for deliverance. He began to prepare for reentry immediately after his conversion and his very first miracle. Jenny's first miracle was when he was released from solitary. Jenny became a certified cook and brick mason, and he regularly attended prison church services and testified often about God's grace and mercy toward him. This inspired other inmates who had known Jenny as a tough guy. Now, ladies, Jenny is a married man. Yes, he married in 2005 while he was still an inmate. Since he was locked up during all of his young years from age 10 all the way up to his 50s, he did not get a chance to father children, but he loves his stepchildren and step-grandchildren. And this is a really amazing story, a story of overcoming all the odds. And we just know that it's encouraging from a religious standpoint, and it also should be encouraging even to people who are not religious, because they can see what positive thinking is able to achieve. If a person is thinking positively, they can overcome almost insurmountable odds, which Jenny did, because he wasn't literally supposed to leave prison. His sentence had been lengthened to 90 years. But the prison warden, the prison officials, the justice system saw something new in Jenny Scrozier. They saw a renewed man, a man who was inspiring other prisoners, even though he had been known as the tough guy. He was inspiring other people to change their way of thinking. Jenny always says, if a man will think right, he will act right. And if he acts right, his life will go right. And so that's become his motto. Now, Jenny was released despite all odds in 2013. That's July 2013. And he enjoys inspiring youth to abort behavior that could lead them to incarceration. And he motivates released prisoners to abort recidivism. As a Georgia prison laborer, Jenny worked for years but did not earn wages. He received only $25 upon release to reenter society as a free adult for the first time in his entire life. Since prison release, Jenny does horticulture, and he recently found a part-time job. He and his wife still attend church regularly, and they're active in church. Now, Jenny enjoys public speaking. He addressed a group of youths at Valdosta State College in February at the Let's Make Man conference. He also spoke to a mental health group in December. The rest of his speaking engagements have been through churches. He also hosts this radio show called Jenny Scrozier, Keeping It Real. And this is a Human Rights Demand channel at Blog Talk Radio. And we want to welcome you to the Jenny Scrozier, Keeping It Real show at Human Rights Demand. Jenny Scrozier has an email address where you can hit him up. Let him know about speaking engagement. Let him know about reentry opportunities. Let him know that you want him to come out and speak to youth at your church or at a school or at a civic meeting. His email address is Jenny R, that's Aura, like the word right. Jenny Aura Scrozier. Now it's J-O-H-N-N-Y, the letter R, then a period. Strozier, Strozier, at gmail.com. I'll give it to you once again. That's Johnny R. Strozier at gmail.com. And please don't forget to put the period. It is refreshing to meet someone who is positive like Johnny is and optimistic about the future despite his many challenges. One might believe that after enduring 46 years in prison from the age of 10, a man might be bitter, but Johnny focuses on self-improvement and future opportunities. He feels that he has learned the key to success. As I said, Johnny always says, if a man thinks right, he'll act right, and things will go right in his life. Johnny Strozier, I will give it to you. We want to welcome you once again to Human Rights Demand. As you know, a great slavery abolitionist, Frederick Douglass, once said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So we want to use you for an example of what can happen when people come out of prison if they have their mind made up to think right, act right, then everything in their lives will line up right. Eventually, they will come out with the right results. Is that right, Mr. Strozier?
That's right.
All right. I'll go ahead and give it to you, sir.
I want to thank you for the opportunity once again to come on and have a John Scroll to keep it real. Well, I want to say, you know, that in the Bible, you know, in John chapter 3, it also said a man doesn't see nothing unless he comes from heaven. You know, when I got this opportunity from this mayor, I know it was from heaven. God only gives when he sees that a man is going to do something with it. God would not invest power to a fool, because a fool won't do nothing but mess it up. So I want to say to the world, you know, that my main goal is to see young men do right in life. Think right, act right, and if they act right, they do right. So I want to say, you know, to all the people out there in radio land, you know, that listen to me, that I was a young man growing up. I stayed in a lot of trouble. I know what it means, you know, for to be a young man, you know, going in the juvenile system, going to jail, going to court, putting your parents through all this ups and no good environment, or coming to visit you and putting money on your book and trying to make sure that you think right. If you don't listen, you know, as a young man, I used to, my parents used to talk to me, and I used to let it go through one ear and come out there. That's what happened, you know. But over the years, as I got older, I learned. I learned that everything that my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandparents were telling me was right. You know, and I thought I knew it all, but I didn't know nothing. But, you know, my goal is to talk to youth and get them on the right track. I remember, you know, just this year, I was invited to a Let's Make Man conference. And I went down and I talked to about 500 youth. You know what I mean? And they were very interested in what I had to say. There was young men that had never been in prison, never been in trouble, and they were anxious to learn and anxious to listen, ask questions, you know what I mean? Because you got to learn about this thing. This thing is just like being in modern-day slavery. If you've never been in slavery, you don't never want to go inside prison. Now, I remember Mr. Derrick Bowman gave me my opportunity when I got out. By the way, Mr. Ricky Brown was the first man that gave me my first job when I got out. Mr. Ricky Brown is also an ex-defender, you know, that came out of prison and started his own staffing company right here in Atlanta, you know, getting ex-defenders jobs when they get out, or trying to help them get on their feet. Well, I got with Mr. Ricky Brown, and I started working with him. He gave me my first job back in 2013. I was working with a demolition company. I was making $10 an hour just out of prison, making $10 an hour. But, you know, some of the fellas that I was working with, they didn't like the way things were going. So they started going into people's stuff, and, you know, we was cleaning out these apartments, and they just couldn't keep their hands on other folks' stuff. So they had to end that program. But I started out with Mr. Rick Brown. I went out his first job that he ever invented out his company called Demolition One. Demolition One was a team of extra fellows that went out. If we couldn't do it, it couldn't get done. And that's our motto. You know, we looked at it like that. So what happened was, I remember being with Mr. Rick Brown. I went to WALK. I had my first interview on WALK radio station with Mr. David Bowman. And I had the opportunity to talk to the world and tell the world what I had went through and what I had been and where God had brought me from. Because without God, I couldn't have made it. You know what I mean? I knew nothing. Everything is possible with God, but nothing is possible with a man. Because man going to always let you down, but God going to always be there for you. He's going to always lift you up. He's going to always take you to new heights. He's going to always forgive you when you fall. And you know that when you fall, you know, like Gunnar Kirkham wrote that song, you fall down, but you get back up again. Just because you fell down don't mean you got to stay down. So, you know, my main goal right now is to reach out to all the youth of the world, no matter where you at, no matter where you live, no matter what country you in, no matter how far this radio station go, you know what I mean? I want to let y'all know that I'm here. I would love to come speak to you. Your churches, or anywhere in the state of Georgia, I come speak at your churches, your school, I come to your home. It doesn't make no different way of that. If you got a kid out of control, I want to know about it. I started a program here in the state of Georgia not too long ago. It's called KCOP. KCOP means Keep Children Out of Prison. I was a child, and one of my goals as a child always had been, if I ever get out of prison, I don't never want to see another child like me go in prison. You know, I want to speak on that. Just the other night I was in a lady house painting, and this young man ran up in the yard, and he had on a T-shirt, and he was scared, and he was crying. You know, and I went out and asked the young man, I said, man, what's wrong? And this young man told me, said, somebody was trying to kill us. It just happened Tuesday night. And I asked the young man, I said, you know, he said, man, they're trying to kill me. So I told him, go behind the house. I said, go behind the house. So we started talking. I got back there and started talking to him. And he was crying. He wanted me to call his mother. So I pulled my phone. I called his mother for him. He talked to his mom and told his mom what happened. So at this point, the young man was scared to go out in the streets. He wanted to come into the house, but it wasn't my house. So I couldn't invite him in the house. So what happened was we wound up taking the young man home, and he lived in College Park, Georgia. We took him home, and we turned him over to his mother, and the strange thing happened. When I told the lady my name, I said, my name is Johnny Scroger. And she told me her name was, I believe it was Michelle Scroger. She was a Scroger. So I said, you know, it was only God that sent this young man to me that made this young man turn in the driveway and come to this house, because God knows that I wasn't going to turn him away. No matter what he was going through, I was going to be there for him. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to let nobody hurt him. I wasn't going to let nobody kill him. You know what I mean? I was going to stay with this young man all the way to the end. I remember as a young man how people treated me. I remember as a young man the abuse and mistreatment, the rejection I went through. I remember as a young man, you know what I mean, that it was somebody had to be in my corner. Somebody had to intercept for me. You follow what I'm saying? So when I came out of prison, I said, well, you know, I want to go out and prison. I want to go out of society and be productive. I don't want to be a statistic to come back. So what I do now is that when people get out of prison, you know, and I meet them, I go out and I research and I find out stuff for them. You know what I mean? How to get food, how to get food stamps started, how to get a house, how to get some clothes, you know what I mean? Because I know when you come out of prison, oh, man, they're going to give you $25, and then they're going to just throw you out in the street. You know what I mean? Telling them dollars is going to be all into your money. See, because in the state of Georgia, they take $10 and they put it in reserve, and they keep the $10 in reserve for 50 years or 25 years or whatever. And then when you get out, the only thing they're going to be giving you in the state of Georgia is about $15, because $10 already belong to you. So when you get out of prison, you don't receive a $25 from the state of Georgia. Only thing the state of Georgia is giving the state inmates that is getting out of prison is $15. Now, I came over that just about 20 minutes ago. I was talking to one of my friends, you know, I was taking him back to a transition center, and he was saying, you know, the $10 that they give you is the $10 that they take out your money when you first come to prison. So that's in reserve. That's your money. So what they do is they give you $15 more, but they add the $10 to it. They make you think they give you $25 when in reality, $10 of the money already belong to you. So I said that, you know what I mean, to let people know that if you come, if you got somebody in prison, your loved one, you know what I mean, your son, your brother, your husband, you know what I mean, I want you to stand by them, you know what I mean, help them, write them letters, you know, because love is encouragement. You know, I used to write 45, 50, 60 letters a day when I was in prison for over 25, 28 years. That's all I used to buy from the store. I used to buy me a whole bunch of stamps, a whole bunch of paper, and a whole bunch of pens, because I used to love to write letters. I love to receive a letter. You know what I mean? I love when somebody writes me a letter, I want to go read it, look at the picture, write it right back. You know what I mean? That's what I used to do. And that's how, you know, that over the many years that I was in prison, I met my wife. You know, I was looking for a good, godly woman, and God blessed me with her. You know what I mean? Once I had her, you know what I mean, I know that she came from God. Because, you know, if you go back in Proverbs, it said that a man that finds a good wife, he finds a good thing because she is a blessing from the Lord. That's in the book of Proverbs in the Bible. If God said it, I can have it. I believe it, and I receive it. And, you know, I'm out here in society now, you know what I mean? I've been out almost a year. Next month, July the 31st, will be my first year out of prison since 1968, April 1968. You know, it's hard out here, you know, trying to just get a job, just trying to do the right thing, trying to live, you know what I mean? I went to and got me a part-time job, cook. I work at a senior citizen daycare center. You know, I'm a cook. I go every day, you know what I mean? I don't try to miss no days because I know people depend on me to come in and cook this food. And if God invests in me life, if God wake me up in the morning, then that is my job to get up and go do God work. I'm not working for whoever they think I'm working for, but I'm working for God. So I'm not going to let God down because he didn't let me down. Absolutely. And when I go in this adult daycare center and I talk to these old people, you know what I mean, they're just like my moms and my dad sitting up in there. You know, I remember when my mom and my dad died, I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. But I got people now that I feed every day, so I go in, you know what I mean, I cook them breakfast, and I talk to them, and I communicate with them, you know what I mean, and I let them know, you know, that I love them, you know what I mean, hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, and they take to me, they just talk to me like I was their son, so really, I am their son. I'm every mother and every father's son that's sitting in that daycare today. Most of the people that got old-timer and they can't think, you know what I mean? Most of them can't act right. I get up there and dance with them and talk to them, play games with them, you know what I mean? And I try to feed them the best food that I can cook. A man once told me, if you're going to cook, cook the best food you can cook. And that's exactly what I do. So, you know, to say all that to say this, you know what I mean? I'm out here in society. I'm getting a chance to eat a lot of stuff that I normally wouldn't eat. I'm going to try to interact with a lot of kids. You know, I got 7 granddaughters and 1 grandson, and I got a grandson right now who is in the Fulton County detention center, and he just got an armed robbery or assault case or something. And I want y'all to keep him in prayer. His name is DJ Scroger. Same name I got. That's DJ Scroger. He's 15 years old. And right now we're trying to get him out. We got him a bond, and he's getting ready to get out. I named it in the name of Jesus Christ that he's going to walk out of juvenile hall tonight. And so we're working on this thing, you know what I mean, to get him out. This is his first time ever being in a jail cell or juvenile home. Never been in trouble in his life. He just made a mistake and got with some older boys on a motor train in Atlanta, and they had a BB gun or some kind of little water gun or something, and they pulled it out on somebody playing and got everything it takes is a split second to do something stupid, and it'll cost you 55, 60 years of your life in prison or in juvenile. So I'm speaking to all the young men and all the young women out in society and radio land to keep DJ Scroger in prayer. This young man never been in any trouble, never did anything in life. So I want you to keep him up in prayer, you know what I mean, and keep all the young men up that is going through something right now. Pray for them. Pray for their families, you know, because we are in our last days now. This is the last days, you know. This is where the devil is trying to take over, trying to take all the young men off the street. Get all the young men off the street, destroy their minds, get them in prison, and run them crazy. You know what I mean? And this is what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what he's going to try to do. So all you young men and women, if you don't start acting right, you got to first act right. Go to school. That's what mama tell you to do. Go to school. Do what your mama tells you to do. You got to start obeying rules and regulations of the house. First, you got to act right. Then, you got to start thinking right. Because if you act right, you're going to start thinking right. Then if you start thinking right, you're going to start living right. See, that's the thing. That's the key. That's the key to it all, is living right. Living right. Learning how to live right. See, when you get up in the morning and you see your mother and father go to work, they get in their car and they go to work and they provide for you, so you won't have to worry about nothing to eat when you come home. You won't have to worry about the lights being out. You won't have to worry about no food being on the table. The rent paid. You follow what I'm saying? See, these things is being a parent. They learn how to act right. They learn how to think right. Now they're living right. You follow what I'm saying? This is how God operates in your life. So, saying this, you know, to let you know that once, if you don't obey rules of the house, and if you don't obey rules of your parents, then they're going to get you. And then when they get you, what I mean they, I mean them people over there at the jailhouse, over there at the prison system, over there at the juvenile home. See, when they get you, your rent gonna already be paid. You ain't gonna never have to worry about paying no rent. You ain't gonna never have to worry about getting your clothes washed, because they're gonna wash them. You ain't gonna never have to worry about getting no food, because they're gonna feed you. They're gonna feed you what they want to feed you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to worry about no money, because you ain't gonna never have none. You ain't gonna never see none. You ain't got to worry about seeing your sister and brother, because on visitation day, when they come in, you're gonna be sitting in front of them. You ain't gonna be able to touch them. You ain't going to be able to kiss them. You ain't going to be able to do nothing. So, you know what I mean? If you want to live like this, ain't no more going to McDonald's. Ain't no more going to the movies. Ain't no more going nowhere. You're going to be 50, 60, 70 years in prison, sitting in a cell in solitary confinement, trying to figure out what went wrong. You can't call mama when you want to. You're going to have a phone. They're going to set it up, and you're going to have to learn how to use it. And they're going to give you 10, they're going to say 10 minutes. Well, by the time you get on it, they're going to be 5 minutes. They're going to be clicking off. By the time you say, hello, hey, mama, how you doing? I love you. Phone going to be over with. And they're going to put a big, big deal on your mother and your father when you call them from prison. Collect. You got to call home, collect. So what I'm saying is this right here, you got to learn how to obey the rules and regulations of society. One thing I learned in prison, and I don't hold that against no one, of the time I spent in prison, because my little knucklehead self is little knucklehead Johnny Scrooge, but I had his society acting right, and I would have never had to spend 46 years in prison. You know, if little knucklehead Johnny Scrooge was out here thinking right, I would have never had to spend 46 years in prison. So I feel like it's him. You know, I said, you know, when you're sitting around in prison and solitary confinement, you know what I mean? When I was in prison, I raised enough heads for the whole prison, you know? And I spent 28 years in one of the roughest prisons in the state of Georgia. They called it Reedsville. Reedsville was the roughest prison and the bloodiest prison in America. I seen they had more murders in Reedsville than I've seen. I've never seen a murder on the street. I never killed anybody. I never raped anybody's kid. I never raped no woman. I never murdered nobody. But I went to prison for over 46 years. Now, you can imagine what people that do those type of things go to prison and what kind of crime they're going to do. If I never killed nobody and I never had a violent problem, a squeak record, and I never pulled a gun, never owned a gun, much less touch a gun. I never even touched a gun. I wouldn't even know how to pull the trigger. Never pulled a knife. Never learned how to use a knife. So I was pulled. Never learned about any crime. Didn't know what a crime means until I went to prison and started reading law books. I was in prison reading law books. Never read a book in my life. Never went to school. Never got an education. Never graduated from a society school. Went to prison. Got educated. I got fair educated. 28 years in a cell. Read. Trying to read. Teaching myself. Looking at TV. Trying to figure out what a word is. Going in the dictionary. Trying to read the dictionary. Went to prison with an IQ of 62. People told me I was mentally retarded. Mentally retarded. 2005, fifth grade recital, 2005, I graduated with a high school diploma. Never been to school, never been taught by a teacher, but I got in that cell, and I let Jesus work on me. My best teacher, I could have the best teacher was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was my teacher. He taught me, he molded me, he trained me, and he prepared me for the outside world. So when I come out, I can walk with my head up, and I'll never look down. And no matter what I run into, I run around, and I jump over it. I go through it, but I won't go back. You follow what I'm saying? I will not go back. I will not look back, turn back. You know, when he told Solomon and told his wife, so y'all leave the city, but don't look back. But his wife looked back, and she turned a pillow of salt. But I won't look back. See, because God made me strong, strong within and strong without. You know, when Joseph was going through a thing, when Joseph was going through all that disbanding me, sick me, and then he had thrown in prison. But see, God gave Joseph a supernatural strength. Just like God gave John Scrooge a supernatural strength to come out in society and succeed. So if you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, I want you to put everything you got, Jesus Christ. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then get somebody to tell you about Jesus so you can get saved, so you can get accepted. My job is to win souls for the kingdom. I want your soul for the kingdom of God. I want you to live right. I want you to act right. And I want you to think right, so you can succeed in life and have everything that you want and never look back. You know, it was a lady that came into my life you know, not reason, just a few months ago, a phone call thing, and another lady that I know for years, you know what I mean, that came to my rescue. And this lady said she opened up her own organization, you know what I mean, helped me and her correspond for a long time, and, you know, she wanted my mentors, you know what I mean. Then I met another lady. I met Miss Mary Neals not too long ago, you know what I mean. She been one of my mentors, you know what I mean. She let me know that she's a woman that got a heart. And she gave me the opportunity to do something that I've never done in my life, is to get on the radio and talk. You know what I mean? I've never been a radio host, never had a radio show, never did any of that. But, you know, this lady came to me, and she gave me the opportunity. You know what I mean? She made me feel important. You know what I mean? I never did nothing like this, but she gave me this opportunity, and I took flight because I know it was a blessing from God. See, the blessing is not for me to hold on to. The blessing is to be passed on, pass the torch. See what I'm saying? And at some point in life, I'm going to pass the torch to somebody else because the blessing is not for me. The blessing is to be passed on to somebody that's going to listen, somebody that's going to, you got to be able to understand what God is telling you. So, you know, since I've been out, I go to church. You know what I mean? My pastor is Judith Carter. I go to Silo Church Institution on Roosevelt Highway. I got a pastor that teaches me things. He teaches me things about friendship and love. It's coming out of Mark chapter 2. If you read Mark chapter 2, it talks about what is a friend? What is a true friend? Excuse me. I know we say, our friend, mama, that's my friend. Mama, that's my partner. Me and him, good friends. But what is a true friend? I'm going to tell you what a true friend is. A true friend is in Mark chapter 2. When Jesus was in the house, four men on each corner picked up the man that was paralyzed, and they took him to Jesus. Now, that was a true friend. How many men you know that if you were sick right now, that'll come to your house and pick you up, pick your whole bed up and tote it out the door if you were sick. They'll pick it up and tote it out the door and take you to the hospital where you can get some medication, where you can see a doctor. Well, these four men took this paralyzed man that couldn't walk to the house where Jesus was preaching and healing. And when they got there, they couldn't go through the door because the house was full. You know, when Jesus show up on the scene, everybody going to come. You follow what I'm saying? So what they did to these four men, how many true friends do you have that if Jesus was in the house and the house was full, that'll take you up on the roof, huh, and tear the roof off and put some rope on your bed and lower you down in there, take their time, skills, and use their muscles and lower you down in there so Jesus can heal you. So when they lowered him down in there and Jesus healed the man, Jesus told the man, said, you will heal. Get up and get your bed and carry it on. You follow what I'm saying? Read the story for yourself, Mark chapter 2. And then ask yourself, do I have a true friend? You know, some people that say they're your friend, they'll just be there to get you in some trouble. They'll be there to sink you down in the ground. I mean, some of your friends, you know what I mean, will tell you, come on, I know you're my friend. Let's go downtown and steal something. Or let's go downtown and rob somebody. Or let's go downtown and do this. Oh, yeah, they said they're your friend. But as soon as you get locked up, they'll flip on you. You know what I'm saying? They ain't your friend. They don't know you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to figure out who is your friend. So, you know, when you got a friend, when you're talking about a true friend is somebody that's going to stick there with you, not somebody that's going to be there with you when you got some money. When they suck up all your money, they're gone. That ain't your friend. Somebody that's going to, if you got a problem, and you go, I got a problem, you call your friend, I got a problem. Well, you know, I can't help you, man. You know, you did that on your own, man. So you got to go do this thing yourself. You know, that ain't what a true friend will do. But if you got a true friend will pray for you. a true friend and say, look, I'm coming over right now, and I'm going to pray for you. That's what a true friend is going to do. See, the Bible says that a brother will stick closer than you. The Bible was talking about a brother, how a brother of Christ will stick closer than you and your own brother. It talks about your sister. Your sister will stick closer to you than your own sister. The Bible said that a member of your family will be your worst enemy. So you got to know who is in your family. You remember when the lady came and called Jesus and said, Jesus, your brothers and your mother are here. Jesus said, my brother and my mother is standing right here. You follow what I'm saying? So you got to know who is your mother, who is your brother, and who is your sister, and who is your friend. Because a true friend will stick close to you than a brother. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, that to keep it real, you know, I want people to be able to call in. I want you to be able to call in. Miss Mary?
Yes, sir, Mr. Strozier. I tell you, I'm so glad that you're letting the people know what a true friend is. You know, a true friend will lead you closer to God, not away from him. Because anytime you walk away from what you know, and even people who are not Christians, if a friend is leading you to do wrong, then that's not a real friend. Because if they're leading you to do wrong things, then they are leading you to the possibility of trouble. And a friend wouldn't do that. A friend wouldn't try to lead another friend to the possibility of trouble. You know, the Bible
That's right.
says that we're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. That means that even if you don't feel like what you're doing is evil, if it appears to be evil, you shouldn't do it. Now, see, that's the point when mothers are telling young men, don't be standing around outside of businesses. Don't be out late at night with your friends. No, you may not be doing evil, but we're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. And when I say this, I'm thinking of a young man who is dead today. And I believe he's dead because he did not shun the very appearance of evil. And that's Troy Anthony Davis. Troy Davis was out with a group of young men, and it seemed to have been getting kind of late at night. And I bet you, I've seen, you know, his mother, I've seen his sisters. I bet you that his mother didn't want him out late at night. But in any case, Troy Davis was out with some young men. They were sitting in a restaurant. And a homeless type guy came in. He may not have been homeless, but he had that atmosphere. And a man at another table, a young man at another table, started picking on this homeless guy. And, you know, he was just picking on him and enjoying picking on him. There are people who are bullies, and they enjoy picking on individuals who seem not to have their total mind. They enjoy picking on individuals who seem vulnerable. And so that seemed to have been the situation. And so the homeless man decided he better leave, because he realized he was getting picked on. And so he left out. But the bully left out behind him. And here's where Troy Davis and his friends messed up. They wanted to see what would happen. And so they left out also. And the bully kept picking on the homeless man. And they even heard him say, I'll shoot you. And the homeless man started screaming for help. Help me, help me, help me. Because he was afraid. He was very afraid of this bully.
And there was an off-duty police officer working at the parking lot next door at a restaurant. He wasn't working at the restaurant where Troy Davis and his friends were. He was working at the restaurant next door. And what happened is that gunshots were fired. And then Officer McPhail, M-C-P-H-A-I-L, it may be M-A-C-P-H-A-I-L. At the end of the shot, Officer McPhail lay dead, an off-duty police officer. And I believe all of those teenagers ran. I believe they got out of there then. But the situation is that if Troy Davis had not been there, that would not have been the situation he was in. And the next day, I'm told that the bully got a lawyer. Troy Davis didn't get a lawyer, but the bully got a lawyer. And he and the lawyer went to the police department and claimed that Troy Davis had shot the police officer. Police went to Troy Davis's house and searched it. They found no weapon. This bully admitted that he had a weapon of the same caliber that killed Officer McPhail. He admitted that he had had a weapon of that same caliber, but he claimed to have lost the gun so he could not produce it for ballistics test. Troy Davis had no gun. When it came down to it, they showed Troy Davis's picture around to witnesses. And when it was all said and done, Troy Davis was fingered as the shooter, even though I believe that Troy Davis was not the shooter. And millions of people also believe Troy Davis was not the shooter. But you see, he was in the position to be falsely accused. Number one, if his mother asked him, don't go out that night, sometimes God speaks to a mother's heart. And young men should listen to their mothers, even if they consider themselves grown. And number two, if you're in a position where you see something negative happening, it's best that you remove yourself from such circumstances. Don't, if you hear about a fight at school, don't go toward the fight. Don't go to see the fight. We shouldn't enjoy tragedies. Don't go toward the fight, because if people are fighting, you don't know how many people have been shot and they were just near a controversy. But people have a tendency, especially young people, to run toward controversy when you should be going in the other direction. So Troy Davis and his friends went out to see how the homeless man would come out. And what happened is a police officer lay dead at the end of it. And so this is what happens. Your friends, you want to be a man. You don't want to say, my mom doesn't want me to go out tonight. You want to go out with your friends. And so many times your friends are up to no good. But even if they are up to good, even if they are decent young people, it simply is not the best thing for a group of black boys, especially black boys, to get together and go any place, because you're looked upon in this United States of America as being a threat. You're looked upon as up to no good, even when trouble is the last thing on your mind. You're looked upon that way. So it's best, if you're a black young man, to only have one person, if that, in the car with you when you go someplace, especially at night. Don't be riding 4 and 5 deep. It's not safe. It attracts attention of police officers. And some of those police officers are on very short fuses. When a catastrophe happens, our police officers are not tested for drugs and alcohol. They're not tested to see whether they're abusing steroids, which causes brain damage. The situation is that they more or less take their word for whatever they say against your word. So the best thing to do is to avoid circumstances where your honesty and your credibility will be called into question. Don't ride 4 and 5 deep. It's just not safe. I know this is supposed to be a free country, and you're supposed to be able to go where you want, when you want, if you're a grown-up. But if you know something is not safe, why would you do it? Number two, always put your seatbelts on. Don't leave an opportunity open to get stopped by police. Put your seatbelts on. And you know, there is a culture now that is developing, actually is well developed already. Young people are very likely to smoke marijuana. And if you got 4 or 5 friends with you, even 2 or 3, it's very likely that one of them will have marijuana or will have smoked marijuana. And the situation is that you want to avoid the very appearance of evil, like the Bible says. So know who your friends are. Know what they have done. Know what they're likely to do. You know, sometimes I think about young men who are involved in car chases. The police are chasing the car. And sometimes the young man who's driving has a passenger. And I think to myself, that could be a completely innocent young man, his passenger, who had no idea that this guy had a warrant, or who had no idea that this man would react like that if the police tried to stop them. You have to know something about your friends. If a friend comes by and he has a new car, don't be so quick to jump in and go for a ride. How do you know how that person got that car? You have to avoid evil before it comes up. And if we would just learn to do that, a whole lot of circumstances that arise in life wouldn't arise in your life. And remember, like Johnny Stroger said, a friend would never deliberately lead you into trouble. He's not going to come and tell you, man, I want you to hold this for me and give you something that's hot to hold for him. He would have more respect for you than that. He would want you to be safe from false accusations. He wouldn't tell you to hold this for him, and it's something that's hot. He wouldn't ask you to do that. And so many young men get involved in gangs. And I understand, and, you know, I believe it, that one of the first things that gangs want young men to do is to break the law. They want them to do a crime because during their membership in the gang, they're going to learn crimes that the members have done. And they want to have something on the new member so that he won't feel comfortable telling ever on the things that they are going to learn that the other gang members did. So one of the first things they ask a young man to do, as I understand it, is to do a crime. You see, no friend would ask you to put yourself in harm's way that way. No friend would lead you into trouble that could cost you years of your life or could cost you even your life. So please know that a lot of people run from being alone. They feel like if they're alone, they're not popular. They feel rejected and what have you. But a little alone time can be helpful. It can be good for you if you use your time wisely. If you find that you don't have friends to be around, hang out with, and all those things, don't worry about it. Use that time to study. Use that time to, for number one, study the word and show yourself approved. Learn the word of God. Commit the word to your heart so you won't be so quick to sin against the Father. And secondly, try to be helpful to your family. You know, childhood, it may seem like it's a long time before you grow up, but it's not that long, really. You will be a real man soon with the responsibilities of a man. And take Johnny Strozier's advice. If you will think right, you will act right. And if you act right, your life will go right. And so I just thank Johnny Strozier for giving me the opportunity to remind everybody that we're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. You know, that little gang initiation scenario I gave you is something I believe happens even to people who are already adults. I believe it happens to some people who are in, say, elected and appointed offices for the government or for major corporations. I believe they ask sometimes for you to do something that is wrong. And usually they put a little sweetness to it for you. Maybe you would gain a big raise or a bonus or the next position up the ladder. But they ask you to do something that you know is wrong and they know is wrong. And if you do that, they might come back 10 years later and ask you to do something else that's of more magnitude and it's wrong. And if you do that, then they've got you. But if you try not to do that, then they will play the video or the audio of when you did that initial wrong thing. I think a lot of our elected and appointed officials have joined gangs. They got initiated into gangs. They were asked to do something wrong to prove their loyalty to the party or to the cause. And when they did that, they kept getting asked. And if they ever stop, then they're going to use that against them. Go ahead, Mr. Strozier.
Ms. Mary, I want to let all the young men, I want to let you know, too. You know, I used to be a gang leader, so I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, as a gang leader, I used to sit back and call the shots. But, you know, as a gang leader, when I was in prison, I was a gang leader in prison of the black inmates. And what I did was anything I ordered my troops to do, I did it first. I did it first because I wanted them to see what I respected out of them. If I put myself on the line, I want you to put yourself on the line. But the same way that I was a gang leader that I inverted into a gang is the same way I inverted out of a gang. See, I found out that It wasn't the gang members or being in a gang that made me a man. What made me a man is when I joined Jesus' gang. See, I joined a gang that I can't lose. You follow what I'm saying? Huh? I can't lose when I'm in Jesus' gang. See, Jesus got a gang. So now Jesus got me on his, I'm in his gang. So I run around there, I run around in the street and I tell people about Jesus and about how I used to be, how the devil had me. And how he had me running to and from. I was just like him. I was running to and from the earth, trying to devise somebody. That's how much evil I had in my mind. You know, I want you to come in with me. I want you to do this. Go fast, so and so. Go do this, him. You follow what I'm saying? And that's where I did it. You know what I mean? But I learned that when I diverted out that game and I got into the Jesus game, when I got into the Holy Spirit game, When I started doing the things and I started learning who I was and who God was and how he allowed me to move inside this prison system and on the outside of society, you know, it took God 40 years to repair Moses. You know, Moses had to go through some stuff. You follow what I'm saying? See, Moses kept talking about, well, Jesus, you know, I don't think I should go down there and do that. You know what I mean? I ain't ready for that. God said, Moses, I want you to go down there and to Jerusalem. I want you to go down there. But Moses kept rejecting God. You see, that's what I was. I kept rejecting God. And see, that's how it didn't take God 40 years to repair me. It took God 46 years. You follow what I'm saying? Another man I want to talk about that God got into. See, God got into Dr. King. You remember Dr. King? And he said, I went to the mountaintop. Huh? He said, I went to the mountaintop and I looked up and I see the promised land. Well, see, he said, I might not get to the promised land, but he want to know that we are the people that will get there. You follow what I'm saying? And another thing I want to comment on what you said, you was talking about how the police target young black men to be out at night. You know, I was down in Cascade in Atlanta one night when it snowed down here in Georgia. Do you know, six police cars pulled up on me, you know, and I had a weapon on me. I had a knife because I live in Cascade. I'm not going to go down Cascade just by myself and take a chance on getting killed. I can't defend myself. So when they pulled me up, they weren't looking for the knife. They were telling me that somebody had just robbed McDonald's. Huh? And I'm on the street. I'm the only black man on the street. So they pulled me over, six police cars, throw me up against the car, pulled my ID card out of my pocket. When they found out I was a convicted felon, they thought they had some. So they said, well, the lady at McDonald's just identified you as being the wrong, that just robbed McDonald's. I said, well, that lady, I'd be a fool to rob McDonald's and then just walk right back by the restaurant and y'all looking for a man that fit the description. So they said, well, do you have a weapon? I told them I had a weapon. I took it out and put it on the police car. So they told me, look, Mr. Scrooge, we see that you don't have no warrants and blah, blah, blah. So get your weapon and you can go home. Huh? So I'm letting you know that being a black man in America is target for you. Being on the street at night with a group of men, group 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, how many of y'all out there, y'all going down the street, if a crime happened, like it happened in Georgia, if a black man, if somebody black going somewhere and rob somebody, they ain't going to go looking for that person. They're going to come down there and get the first black man they see. You going to jail, and they're going to put that crime on you because you're going to go to jail and you're going to have armed robbery. I got a grandson, my only grandson right now is sitting in Fulton County Juvenile Hall because he was out with a group of friends that 12-year-old did a crime, and he was there. So they put him in juvenile hall. He'd never been in any trouble in his life. So right now he's sitting in juvenile hall. But guess what? The two 12-year-old, the two twins, the two friends they had, 12-year-old, they done got out. But you know what they did? They told the police that just like your brother was sitting in that restaurant, and them people went to mess with that homeless man, and police got shot. You got three young men together. So what they did is they put all the stuff on the 15-year-old, since he's the oldest. They said, oh, he planned it. He planned it all. So they let the two 12-year-olds out. But the man that didn't do nothing is sitting in jail now. You have a $2,000 bond on him. So, see, don't get caught up in the people saying that they're your friend or they're going, oh, man, let's go down here and get us some weed. Yeah, smoking marijuana. Yeah, I used to do that, too. I smoked a little marijuana back in my days, you know what I mean? But I quit because I found out that getting high ain't my thing. Drinking alcohol ain't my thing. Drinking beer, I never drunk beer in my life. Never drunk no alcohol. Never did none of that. That ain't my thing. So, since if I don't like it, I don't do it. I don't do it because you want to do it, and you're my friend, and you say, hey, man, go down there and get us a beer. They get an alcohol. You know what I mean? Just because you got a group of people sitting in the house and y'all party, that don't mean that you got to do it. Don't show yourself, oh man, I ain't going to be weak, man. I'm going to smoke some of this. I'm going to drink some of this. You know what I mean? You ain't got to drink that. Just get you some water. Continue to drink your H2O. You know what I'm saying? Stay healthy. But once you get hooked on alcohol and on beer, and on marijuana eat your brains up. Alcohol, if you drink too much of it, it's going to kill you because you're going to get the roaches at the liver. And if you smoke crack cocaine, it's going to destroy you. You know what I'm saying? So you better leave it alone altogether. I'm telling you now, you better leave it alone because you're going to regret it if you mess with it. Okay? Mary?
Absolutely, absolutely, Mr. Strozier. Stay away from drugs, alcohol. Those are mind-altering devices, first of all. And you need your entire mind in order to just deal in this system. You need mm-hmm. to have the right mind. As a matter of fact, you need the mind of Christ. And then a lot of situations you can walk on through. Stop being afraid of being by yourself. Stop being afraid of not being popular, not being liked, not being cool. Stop thinking that you got to have the latest tennis shoes or the jersey with the right number on it to be cool. You just be yourself, accept yourself, love yourself, and know that you are already loved. You are already determined to be worthwhile. God thinks you're so worthwhile, and he so loves you that he gave his only begotten son so that whomsoever will believe on him shall never die, but shall have everlasting life. So you already are loved. You already are valued. And you don't have to do things to make this group of people like you or think you're cool. Stop being the class clown. You know, you're not there to entertain the classroom. You mm-hmm. got them laughing. So what? In a few mm-hmm. years, you're not going to remember their name, and they're not going to remember your name. You're in school to get something that you can keep with you forever, that nobody can take from you. And that is the things you learn, your education. That's why you're in school. Stop being the class clown. Nobody's paying you for a comedy act. You know, just be yourself. And you know, if you be yourself and you have strong confidence in yourself, then people will be attracted to you. The right people will be attracted to you. The teachers will start recommending you for the talent shows. They will recommend you to deliver the address. They'll recommend you for the scholarship opportunities that arise. They'll recommend you for the summer program that they know about. Your teachers are the ones to please. And, you know, when you go into any situation, it's important for you to look around and see who is it important to please. And if you're in school right now, the important people to please are your principal and your teachers, your assistant principal, you know, and your teachers. These are the people who it's important to please. Because you're not there to stay. You're passing through. You are only passing through. And you're only going to be in school a few years. So even if the rules are some that you can't agree with, put your shirt tail in, pull your pants up, you don't agree with those rules. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. If you don't even see any sense in it, if it won't, you know what rules you're not supposed to follow? You're not supposed to follow any rules that are against God. If someone tells you to do something that's simple or to not do something that good, then you're not supposed to follow those rules. But if you're told something to do, even if you disagree with it, if they tell you something to do, then do that, because if it's not against God, it's okay for you to follow that rule. And so if we would just learn to follow rules, you know, we would avoid a whole lot of trouble. We could avoid a whole lot of trouble. And that's what Mr. Strozier is here to talk to you about, how to avoid the troubles of life, especially incarceration. Because there are people who want to make money off of you. Human beings have become a commodity in America. And they want you to be incarcerated where you will have no freedom and where you will work for nothing, especially if you're in some states like Georgia. You heard Mr. Strozier say that he worked behind bars. He was a prisoner. He stayed there 46 years. And many of those years he was working. But when he exited, they gave him his own $10 and they added $15 to it. So they really didn't even give him $25. And I wanted to talk to y'all about that also. Mr. Strozier will be celebrating his first year anniversary back into society on July 31st. And I'm creating some fundraisers for Mr. Strozier, because for a man to exit prison in his 50s with only $25 in his pocket, and he's a married man, he has a lovely wife, that is not enough. Now, you know that $25 will only buy a couple of meals, but God has been good to him, and I believe God will continue to be good to him, because he wants to use Mr. Strozier to encourage our youth to stay out of trouble. He wants to use Mr. Strozier to encourage people who are reentering society from incarceration to not recidivate. Don't go back. Just hold on and trust in God. God will make a way. He wants to use Mr. Strozier to inspire our young people to stay out of trouble and to motivate our former prisoners to stay on the right road so that they will not recidivate. And I want to encourage Mr. Strozier in his ministry, because this is a ministry. I want to encourage him in that. We're doing some fundraisers. Look online for the words Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Strozier, S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R, Reentry Fundraiser. Johnny Strozier, Reentry Fundraiser. And so when you see that, please stop there and read about Johnny Strozier and the accomplishments that he is making. You know, you never met a more positive person than this man, and he's been locked up since age 10. He went into a juvenile facility at 10 years of age, and he kept doing things that were contrary to the rules until when he was about 16, they transferred him to an adult facility. And when he got there, he did things that were contrary to the rules, and his time kept getting lengthened and lengthened until, before you knew it, 46 years had gone by. Mr. Strozier was arrested when Martin Luther King was killed, right before that, in 1968. And he just got out of prison last year in 2013. That was July 31st, 2013. So you see, next month, he's celebrating a year of freedom. And I want us to be a part of his celebration, and I want us to congratulate Mr. Strozier in a monetary way. Help him to be able to provide for himself and his wife. Help him also be able to speak to the youth about avoiding trouble, avoiding dangers. I want you to help him to speak to people who are reentering society. Again, his email box is Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Aura, that's Aura like rice, period, Strozier, S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R, @gmail.com. Johnny R, period, Strozier, @gmail.com. Email him and tell him how encouraged you were to hear about a man who made such a turnaround in his life. He was never supposed to be exiting prison, let them tell it. But when Johnny Strozier became a new creature in Christ, then all things were made new. And eventually the prison officials noticed the change that had come over Johnny Strozier. And he was rewarded with prison release when actually he was given 90 years after he attacked a prison guard. He was given 90 years, but he did walk out of prison. He's been a free man for a year. He's still giving honor to God. He enjoys talking to young people about avoiding incarceration. aborting trouble. He enjoys talking to people who are exiting prison about reentry opportunities that he knows about, and also the importance of not recidivating. And so he's someone that should be contacted with speaking engagements, and we're going to have fundraisers for him so that we can celebrate with him his first year of freedom as an adult ever. This man has never been a free adult before July 31st, 2013. So on July 31st, he will celebrate his first year of freedom, and I want you to help me and help others to make this a very special occasion for Johnny Strozier. $25 in his pocket. He walked out of the Georgia prison system last July, and he said that if it hadn't been for his wife, he would not have been able to make this year. But the truth is, if it had not been for God, because God gave him the wife. The Bible says, if a man finds a good wife, he's found a good thing. So God blessed him with his wife. It all goes back to God. Whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you're planning, you know, man plans, but God decides. And God decided to set Johnny Strozier free. And I believe he's going to decide to put on many people's heart to drop some money in his fundraiser to help him on his new walk as a free man for the first time as an adult ever. And I just thank you, Mr. Strozier, for being the example that you are for the young people in our community, as well as to other people who are exiting prisons and jails. Thank you for being an example of what can happen if a person has the patience and the faith to wait on God. And I will turn it over to you. I invite everyone to look online for the Johnny Strozier fundraisers and contribute to that, and also to give him a call and let him know that you wish him well. And also call this radio show when he's on air on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The telephone number here is 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. Mr. Strozier is going to be inviting some interesting guests to his radio shows. He's going to talk to you about common sense measures that you can implement to keep yourself safe and successful. You know, it's a wise person, whether it's a child or an adult, it's a wise person who can learn from other people's example. You don't have to go through everything yourself before you learn. You shouldn't have to learn everything by experience. That's a dummy. You can learn from listening. You can learn from reading. You can learn from taking note of how things worked out for other people. If you see other people going to jail for robbery, why would you go do a robbery? If you see other people trying crack and ending up a crack addict, why would you try crack? If you see other people missing out on job opportunities because of marijuana, why would you smoke marijuana and get rejected for jobs because you can't pass a drug test? The thing is that we have got to be smart enough to learn not by experience but by example. And so that's the importance of having the Johnny Strozier Keep It Real show. And I want to thank you again, Mr. Strozier, for having this show, and I'll leave it to you to wrap it up now.
Okay. I just say, you know, to all the people in the society, I want you to have a blessed day. You know what I mean? Always look up, never look down, and always remember this hymn. A friend you got to love from a distance. Always love a friend from a distance. Always keep in mind that God loves you. Always let your light shine. Never give up. And I just want to say I enjoyed talking to y'all. And hopefully I'll see y'all next Friday. You can call in. Like you said, you can call in and talk, or you can ask questions. Or the John Scrolls, keep it real at 347. I want everyone out there to have a blessed night and call in and ask questions. Mothers and fathers, I want you to be able to call in and ask questions. If your kids down, call in and ask questions. If you're an ex-defender, call in and ask questions. I don't care if you're President Obama, you can call in and ask questions. You know, I invite you to call in, make donations if you want to. You know what I mean? It's going to help me and my wife out. You know what I mean? Because right now I'm living, my wife living in one place and I'm living in another. We're not able to live together because in the state of Georgia, you can't live if you're coming out of prison and you're a family. You can't live in your condominiums and your government apartments. You have to go out and get a room. So if your wife can't live there, then and she got a lease in another house, she can't break her lease and move with you. You can't go with her. So it's just some crazy stuff going on here in the state of Georgia. So the only way you can really just come together as husband and wife is just buy a house somewhere or rent a house somewhere. You know, that'll be something good for me to rent a house. I never owned a house, never lived in a house, but it'll be good to rent one, you know, and just have a life, you know. Just live the rest of your life happy. You know, that's what it's all about. It's just about being happy, you know, and living right, you know. So I want to thank y'all for listening to me, and may God bless. Peace.
Thank you, Mr. Strozier. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to look online for the Johnny Strozier's fundraisers. I'm going to put about three up. And I thank you already. I thank you in advance for contributing so that Mr. Strozier and his wife can live together as a couple. She's in apartments and he can't live there. He's not on the lease. And her lease is up in September. And he's in a rooming house. So when September comes, I would love for this couple, this Christian couple, to have a place they can live together. And please, landlords in Atlanta area, know that this is a Christian couple and they are looking for an affordable house to rent. And so you have Johnny Strozier's email address. And that is J-O-H-N-N-Y, the letter R, period, Strozier, S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R, @gmail.com. My name is Mary Neal. I'm Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, and I'm Station Director here at Human Rights Demand. This is Blog Talk Radio Show, and it's Human Rights Demand Channel. And the program you just heard was the Johnny Strozier Keeping It Real. Please share the URL to this show to anyone and everyone that you feel like should have an interest in prison diversion and reentry. And we thank you very much for listening, and we invite you back next Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for another episode of Johnny Strozier Keeping It Real. Good night, Mr. Strozier.
Good night, Ms. Mary, and be blessed.
Thank you. Good night, audience. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing.